In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Wednesday, April 27th, 2016 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. On average, nearly 700 Christian women and girls between the ages of 12 and 25 are kidnapped and forced into Islam each year in Pakistan. According to International Christian Concern, in this past month alone, several have been ripped from their homes and forced into Muslim pseudo-marriages. After these unholy unions, the women are considered property of their husbands, with no rights. 23-year-old Lavisa Bibi from the Kasur district in Punjab is one of the most recent taken at gunpoint. Please, pray for Lavisa and her family. The World View spoke to Sardar Mushtaq Gill, a human rights lawyer in Pakistan, on why Christian women and their rights are so violated.
In Pakistan and particularly in all Muslim countries, the rights of women are being violated. Firstly, because if you will see the teaching of religion, and there are instances in which some basic women rights are being denied by the teaching of religion.
The Lord Jesus revealed to us how husbands are to treat their wives. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Ephesians 5:25. Cardinal Joseph Zen Zekun led a prayer meeting on Sunday with about 100 people in front of China's Hong Kong liaison office in Beijing, according to the Christian Post. Zekun spoke out against the persecution of Christians in China and said, quote, those who would not also speak out were accomplices, unquote. In one province alone, over 1,700 churches have been destroyed and numerous church leaders have been arrested. Adding to the growing tension between America and Russia, Russia has renewed their bombing of government opposition fighters now backed by the United States in Syria. President Barack Obama and Russian President Vladimir Putin have communicated over the last week about pressuring Syria to end their airstrikes in violation of a UN-negotiated ceasefire. It was a perfect five-state sweep for Donald Trump, winning by huge margins in Maryland, Delaware, Connecticut, Pennsylvania, and Rhode Island. Trump took as much as 65% of the vote in one state, but at his worst, won 54%. Just this week, Trump reached 50% support among Republicans for the first time nationwide. Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders continued their slugfest. Clinton took Connecticut, Delaware, Maryland, and the biggest prize of the night, Pennsylvania. But Sanders vows to steam ahead. He won Rhode Island. Common Core might just become less common. The Michigan legislature is considering a bill to rescind their adoption of the Common Core standards. Senate Bill 826 would, quote, protect state and local control of public education, unquote. The World View spoke to Patrick Kolbeck of Michigan's 7th District about the bill.
The more the federal government has got involved in education, the worse we've gotten as a country. So there is power in local control, and as far as what our educational system would look like once Common Core is repealed, well, per our legislation, essentially puts the power for education decisions back in the hands of the local school districts and the parents and the teachers in those school districts.
Scripture reminds us of what a good education looks like. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Proverbs 9:10. Meanwhile, an Alabama House committee approved a bill last Wednesday to abolish marriage licenses in their state. Thousands of Americans across the nation gathered on Saturday protesting 300 Planned Parenthood abortion bills. Planned Parenthood kills more babies through abortion than any other organization. My 4-year-old daughter Mercy held a sign that said abortion kills children, and my 1-year-old son Valor sat in his stroller as I held a sign that said adoption, the loving option. The event was organized by a coalition of pro-life groups who plan to make it an annual tradition until Planned Parenthood, quote, no longer preys upon our communities, unquote. In a recent study, Movie Guide founder Ted Baer showed how movies with Christian faith and values not only inspire the human heart, but also make good business sense. Revenue generated from such films have gone from next to nothing to more than $5.6 billion over the past few years. Oklahoma authorities are finally returning nearly $53,000 in cash to AWA, a Christian band manager from Dallas. In late February, the man, born in Myanmar, was pulled over reportedly for a defective brake light while heading home from a charity concert. When his car was searched and the large bundle of cash discovered, police seized the money, but no drugs. They charged Wah with a felony, drug proceeds acquisition. All charges were finally dropped. Now Wah is looking forward to getting the money to Thailand and Myanmar to help needy orphans. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to His purpose." And that's the World View on this Wednesday, April 27th, in the year of our Lord, 2016. Invite your friends to listen to this unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. We'd like your feedback. What do you like about the World View? What sets it apart? Have you used this newscast in a family devotional or family worship? We'd love to hear from you. Send your email to adam@theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
This is the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today with Steve Vaughn in studio. As we once again encourage you towards the biblical family and a biblical approach to life, and we encourage the reintroduction of the biblical family in the modern age in which socialism has largely displaced family obligations, family responsibilities, and family freedoms. And we encourage people to more and more embrace the freedom to make your own family health care choices and to involve yourself in family elder care versus the destructive systems that inevitably attend socialism. Socialism as a system simply cannot survive. And as we discussed on recent editions of this program, we can't just continue with Karl Marx's approach to the redistribution of the wealth and the class envy system because it is diametrically opposed to the Eighth Commandment. Moreover, the biblical approach to family is that family attends to a family's needs. And in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and Matthew chapter 15, both passages encourage family involvement in caring for elderly parents, family involvement in caring for one's own family, rather than to revert that care over to the church or to the state. So again, a biblical outlook encourages the re-relevantization of the family in the present day. And that's the kind of thing we've been encouraging on this program for a very long time. Family elder care. Family health care. Now, as it turns out, Obamacare was set up in order to increase government involvement in health care. This has been a way in which the government has increasingly involved itself in every aspect of human life, especially the family. And as the state increases in these areas, the state becomes more relevant and the family less relevant. That disempowers the family generation by generation. Obamacare was a form of government involvement in which government increased its regulation of private industry. That is, government involved itself in what is known as fascism. Government controlled the economy, but government did not necessarily own the entire economy. But fascism inevitably leads to more socialism and communism, and that's the point that we want to continue to drive home on this program. Recently, we pointed out that the rich are paying way more than they did in 1980 in accord with the Marxist Communist Manifesto. But the same thing is happening in terms of government funding of more and more of various aspects of our lives. That is, government take of the GDP has increased steadily since the early part of the 20th century, and it is in the area of medical care that this reach has increased probably more than any other area. Obamacare was set up in order that government might reach more into the area of health care. And sure enough, here's another article from worldnetdaily.com indicating Obamacare meltdown, health insurers suffer massive losses. I think we've referred to this several times before on this program, but I want to bring it back to your attention. It's important for you to understand what Obamacare is doing. Obamacare is really set them up to fail care. That's really what it should have been called. Obamacare had set up the private insurers to fail. It was there to ensure failure. Obamacare set them up to fail care. The nation's largest health insurer, United Health, has announced just this week it's lost at least $1 billion under Obamacare's insurance exchanges. It can no longer afford to participate in a number of states, including Arkansas, Georgia, and Michigan. United Health is just one of many health insurance companies sounding the alarm that they will have to drastically hike premiums in the coming year or consider exiting the individual health care marketplace in the wake of massive losses sustained over the first couple of years under the rules of President Obama's signature health care law. So, Steve, this Obamacare, we all knew it was going to set up the whole system to fail, and it would lead to a single-payer system and a socialist system in which government would be responsible for the health care of a nation.
Yeah, and even the guy who designed this, the MIT professor, I can't remember what his last name was.
Jonathan Gruber.
Gruber, yeah. He said that the only reason that it passed was because of the stupidity of the American voter, and that if anybody actually saw what was in it or knew how it would work, it would never have passed because it was designed to fail.
And I've got the article from Daily Caller in 2014. Gruber is an MIT professor who served as a technical consultant to the Obama administration during the design of Obamacare. Now, this is a quote from a panel he sat on in 2014. Here's what he said. This bill was written in a tortured way to make sure the CBO did not score the mandate as taxes. If CBO scored the mandate as taxes, the bill dies. Okay, so it's written to do that. In terms of risk-rated subsidies, if you had a law which said that healthy people are going to pay in, you made explicit healthy people pay in and sick people get money, it would not have passed. Lack of transparency is a huge political advantage. And basically, call it the stupidity of the American voter or whatever, but basically that was really, really critical for this thing to pass. Okay, my friends, that's Jonathan Gruber, the architect for Obamacare, pointing out to people that the thing was designed to be sure that it would fail. Fascism leads to more socialism. And that was the plan from the beginning, Steve.
Yeah, and the reason why socialism fails is because eventually you'll run out of everybody else's money to spend.
Well, that's true, too. But first, in order to socialize an entire nation and turn an entire nation into slaves to big government, you've got to develop an untenable system of regulations on the private industry. So that's the first step. The first step is, no, we don't want to own all the means of production. We don't want to own all of the controls of the medical systems. We just want to control it. And when we control it, as we put an untenable system of regulations upon the system, we will make sure that it will fail, and then we'll work towards government-funded health care and everything else. That's the way the government does it. And it works its way out over a period of about 50, 60, 70 years. And that's how we get Obamacare. Now, here's an application for anybody listening to the program. How do we deal with this ourselves? How do we interact with this ourselves, especially those of us who feel somewhat overwhelmed? Well, you can vote. You can vote against socialism. You can vote in favor of the Eighth Commandment, the Seventh, and the Sixth. I would vote in favor of all of the Ten Commandments. It's my recommendation to anybody listening. But do remember that there are options, and thankfully, by God's grace, islands of freedom have been created in the area of education and healthcare. And the Word of God says in 1 Corinthians 7:21, if you can be free, use it rather. If it's possible you can be free from the unnecessary servitude of men, you know, take advantage of it. Really take advantage of it. If you got an option, if there's an island of freedom somewhere, go for it. And it turns out there's islands of freedom from government control and ownership of education. If anybody wants to be free, use it rather. Use it rather. You have to have a freedom mindset about you. And you have to be set free by the Son of God, because that's the next verse. Be not the servants of men, you are bought with a price. So if you've been brought by the price of the blood of the Son of God, which ought to be valuable and precious to you, then inevitably that should lead to more freedom and a desire in your heart for more freedom from the unnecessary servitude of men, whether it be big governments or local fiefdoms, either way. If there's an option, if there's an alternative, if somebody by the grace of God has proffered you something of an alternative of slavery, then according to 1 Corinthians 7:21, use it rather. Use it rather. Go for it, man. Use it rather. It's a great opportunity to be free from the government control and ownership of education. And thankfully, home education is free in all 50 states. You can do it. You have an option. You can be free if you would use it rather. You say, well, freedom to me is free curriculum and free health care. Well, again, we're back to a slave mindset now.
That's right.
Now the individual has no personal responsibility. And now he's going to be controlled in the ultimate sense by government bureaucrats in terms of how he uses the education and whether he's going to euthanize his Down syndrome child because he's taking all the monies from the federal government who will call the shots as to what gets covered and what doesn't get covered. So, friends, do you want to be free or don't you? If you want to be free, use it rather. Now, yes, the slave mindset is such that I'll stay in my master's household because he provides for my medical care, and he provides for my food, and he provides for my family. And so I want to stay enslaved indefinitely in this local fiefdom because I'm provided for by the local master or by the big federal government. But, friends, that's the slave mindset. If the Son will set you free, you will be free indeed. Take a little freedom. That is, if you're a Christian and you've been set free by the blood of Jesus Christ, be not the servants of men. You've been bought with a price. So Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7:23. So take advantage of it. Now, as it turns out, we've got more problems, of course, with Obamacare in that they've mandated contraceptives for private industry. And, of course, if you're part of some private industry in which contraceptives are paid for by your insurance dollars, then you're all tied into the contraceptives that provide for abortifacients, and you wind up contributing to the tens of millions of dead babies that are produced in any given year. But not everybody has to submit to that. Now, of course, the Little Sisters of the Poor have appealed to the Supreme Court in the United States in that they did not want to contribute to tens of millions of dead babies. And so these poor Sisters of the Poor wound up effectively losing the case, or they will wind up losing the case because it will be a 4-4 vote, and that constitutes a loss of the case for the poor Little Sisters of the Poor who have tried to appeal the Supreme Court that give them a little bit of breathing room that they might not have to provide for contraceptives under this slave-based Obamacare package that's imposed upon them and all of the other Christian colleges and ministries that are involved in this particular lawsuit that went to the Supreme Court in the United States. But I'm here to tell you they're going to lose the case this year, and they will have to provide abortifacients as part of their benefit packages. So the poor Little Sisters of the Poor are going to have to provide for contraceptives and abortifacients, unless they want to be free, unless they're willing to exempt themselves from Obamacare, and they can do it on the island of freedom called the Samaritan Medical Sharing Program. There are Christian medical sharing programs that were exempted in the Obamacare bill. Thank God he provided for something of a relief for Christians who want a little freedom and want a little breathing room and would rather not contribute to abortifacient contraceptives. So we want to recommend to you Samaritan Ministries again on this program. For those of you who don't want to fund the abortifacients, and for those of you who want a little breathing room, a little freedom, and want to get out from under the fascist system, you can exempt yourselves by way of Samaritan Ministries. It's a program I've been a part of for, I think, about 17 years now. And, of course, you know, you wind up saving $300,000 over a period of 17 years for any given family on average. Huge, huge savings because you're not bound to all of the fascist regulations imposed on you by Obamacare. Now, if your corporation that you work for allows you a little bit of exemption from their corporate insurance program, and you can voluntarily sign up to Samaritan Ministries, why wouldn't you? I guess is my question. Think of a reason why you wouldn't want to exempt yourself from Samaritan Ministries or from Obamacare, and allow for yourself a little bit of freedom, a little bit of breathing room, and hopefully not provide any kind of support for the abortifacients contraceptives that are mandated by the Obamacare bill. Well, my encouragement, my friends, is to check out Samaritan Ministries. And we encourage all of our listening audience, we have for the last, well, 10 or 15 years. I think since this program began, I've been running spots, encouraging people to check out Samaritan Ministries and remind the Samaritan Ministries that it was Kevin Swanson, the Generations program, that sent you by. That's important. But friends, Samaritan Ministries is a great alternative to signing up for Obamacare and supporting abortion and supporting the socialism and fascism represented by American medicine today. Check out Samaritan Ministries at SamaritanMinistries.org. I encourage you again to SamaritanMinistries.org. There is an alternative to those of you who are in the corporate packages or under the individual mandate. There is an alternative in SamaritanMinistries.org. You really need to check it out. This is Kevin Swanson. We'll be back in just a moment with more on the Generations broadcast.
Does it seem like your family is getting pulled 100 directions? Is a crazy schedule and a hostile but enticing culture making it hard to stay connected to your kids? Join families from across the country for the NOAA Conference in Cincinnati on August 19th and 20th, based on lessons from the life of Noah. The NOAA Conference will prepare you to engage your kids, disciple them in an ungodly generation, and launch them into life as ambassadors of Jesus Christ. Speakers include Ken Ham, the Benham brothers and their father Flip, Kevin Swanson, and others. And most exciting of all, you'll receive free admission to Ken Ham's new Ark Encounter for an unforgettable family vacation. Go to noaaconference.org to register and get back to the basics of what it means to disciple your children in the gospel of Jesus Christ, the only lifeboat that will stand the storm. That's noaaconference.org. Early bird prices end April 30th.
Back on the Generations Radio broadcast, Kevin Swanson here, Steve Vaughn also in studio today, as we talk about how government sets us up to fail. And fascism certainly has set up the free market to fail because the free market simply can't bear the weight of fascism. That is government regulation of the free enterprise system. And so inevitably, fascism morphs its way into socialism, and then socialism is bound to fail too. So fascism is bound to fail. Socialism also is set up to fail because it abdicates personal responsibility. And in the end, you run out of other people's money, which is exactly what you said earlier.
Yeah, and the Bible is against both of them. Bible is for personal responsibility. The Bible is for free market. The Bible is pro-personal property, private property, you know, all of those things. And it goes back to, you know, what God said. He's right in what he says.
Here's another article that ties into this earlier issue. Has a tie-in because governments, inevitably today, especially the Marxist forms, have set us up to fail. And here's an excellent example of that as well, where we read, 1 in 14 Americans will grow up with a parent in prison.
Wow.
Now, America is known as the prison nation because America has the highest incarceration rate in the world. Higher than China, higher than Soviet Union, higher than you name it. America is by far the most tyrannical nation in the world, at least on some indices. And those indices include government monies that fund everything. America has the most expensive government in the world. And America is the most powerful nation in the world at this point. And America has the highest prison population in the world. 1 in 14 Americans will grow up with a parent in prison. And 1 in 4 African Americans born in 1990 has had a father in prison by the age of 14.
Wow,
that's 25%, Steve. That again, I've drawn this out in my book Freedom and also my book Apostate. In both books, I talk about how America has developed a new form of slavery involving prisons. And it ties into the LBJ Not So Great Society program that he conjured up back in the 1960s.
Yeah, that's just, it's like what you said. It's just another form of slavery. They're incarcerated. They're put in chains, put in prison. And it's a majority is African American population.
Exactly. And it starts with a big, great, not so great, horrific society program that LBJ came up with in the 1960s. Friends, that's where it starts. Maybe even a little further back with FDR. But LBJ's not-so-big, great society thing produced bad, bad fruit. 73% of these kids born in these inner cities are born outside of wedlock. That is, they're born without fathers. 73% of these kids born in the inner city, born without fathers, thanks to this big, great, not-so-good society. The socialistic welfare programs have been a total disaster, and every pastor worth his salt in America needs to abandon the system. And I don't care if that pastor's working in the inner city church or any other church in America. Any pastor in America needs to say to his congregants, get off of welfare and get off of welfare now. You have responsibility within your own family, within your own church, to maintain relationships within the covenant bodies of the family and church. And those are God's systems whereby interpersonal responsibilities and interpersonal relationships occur in the context of privatized charity. And outside of that, if you participate in the welfare system, you're breaking the eighth commandment. And that is only going to wind up with more and more corruption in your family from one generation to the next. And 1 in 14 Americans will grow up with a parent in prison, largely because of what government has done. Government has set up the entire society to fail. And it's done it by way of welfare programs and prison programs as well. I think we need to say that prison programs are not the solution to the social issues. The Bible doesn't speak to prisons because it's a waste of time and resources, and it's just plain old-fashioned unjust in many cases. And I think we, again, as Christians, need to get back to God's systems and say, yes, there are certain crimes that need to be dealt with by way of execution.
Yeah.
Somebody kills somebody else, murders somebody else in cold blood, there's two or three witnesses, and the trial happens on Friday, the execution happens Saturday. Period. Now, that's the biblical approach to some of the worst crimes. But as for possession of drugs in the backseat of your car, give me a break.
Yeah.
Biblical law has nothing to say about these things, my friends. This regulative society that creates these prison systems, the largest prison systems in the world, in order to incarcerate as many people as possible to create the largest slave state in the history of the world. Friends, that's not a biblical concept. Now, it is true that you've got to deal with people who have drug problems, and you have to deal with people who steal. Now, you deal with people who steal, according to a biblical system, you create a restitution program, which is obviously based in work programs, in order that you might pay off the victims. This is biblical, Old and New Testament, that him who steals, steal no more, but let him work with his hands, that he may give to him who has not.
Right.
And so, biblically, the restitution program is really the only sensible way to handle petty crime like this. Speaking to a detective, a Christian detective who works with robberies in a large city out here in the West, and he said every single robbery he has ever dealt with, at least recently, always involves drugs. And every person that involves themselves in robbery has a drug issue. That's according to a recent discussion I had with a police detective. But what do you do with this? Well, the only solution in the ultimate sense is you've got to train these men to work. And if you don't work, you die.
Yeah.
He who does not work shall not
eat. Yeah.
That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 or 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. If you do not work, you shall not eat. Okay, that's biblical, my friends. And as Kipling put it, if you don't work, you die. Ultimately, if these young men do not learn how to work, they will die one way or another, even if they are on welfare. Because he who lives by the sword dies by the sword. He who lives by the gun will die by the gun. Inevitably, if he cannot get his life straightened out, and if he is not plugged into a work program somewhere, somehow, I'm not talking about prison here. I'm saying eliminate the prisons. Just eliminate them. Prison was supposed to be a place in which these moralistic Christians thought people could sit there and become penitent in their penitentiaries.
Yeah.
And it was bogus. It's not biblical, and prisons need to be eliminated, utterly eliminated. Now, work programs, yeah, for those who have to pay off those debts to those whom they've stolen. Bible requires 4 to 5 times the value of that which was stolen. So if somebody rips off, you know, a TV set, a big screen, $1,000 TV set, that's $4,000. Now, he's got to work for a period of time, probably be about 6 months, maybe 12 months, where he works a work program somewhere. He saves up $4,000, and that $4,000 does not go to the state, the almighty, omnipotent state that somehow has to enslave every single person and receive all of the taxes, et cetera, from everybody so that they can pay for the prison systems. No, 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 no. It doesn't work that way, friends. A biblical system provides for restitution for those victims who have somehow lost assets because somebody has stolen something from them. All right. Well, that's a biblical system. I realize it's rational. It's thoughtful. It's intelligent. It makes all of the sense in the world.
And that's why the government won't do it.
And that's precisely why the government won't do it. Why? Because the government today is doing everything it can possibly do to set up society for utter failure. It's done that to the inner city. It's doing that with health care. It's doing that with welfare. And it's doing the same thing with the prison system. Friends, this is how you destroy a nation. This is how you destroy an entire civilization. You walk away from the Word of God, and you do everything wrongly. You break every single commandment with impunity, and you institutionalize the breaking of every single commandment by way of the federal government of the United States. But may I suggest a different approach? I'd encourage you to grab a copy of my book, Freedom, and you'll discover a sensible biblical approach to setting up social systems where you maximize freedom and maximize the blessing for an entire nation. And the encouragement is to do so on the principles of the Word of God. You'll find these principles largely summarized in the book Freedom, available at our website, kevinswanson.com. And you say, well, I don't think we'll be able to reconstruct society anytime too soon because the socialists have total control. Yes, but they're destroying it. Yes, but they're bound to fail. They're setting the entire system up to fail. So once the system has failed, then what? I would suggest a plan B. I would suggest that you equip your children and your grandchildren with plan B. And that's why we've summarized that in the book Freedom, available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.